Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. On this Tuesday morning, the last day of 2024. The last day. After today, 2024 will be gone. And all of the things that happened in 2024. Tonight, we're going to say our official goodbye in our very, very special 2-hour presentation of what we're headed into in 2025 with special guests that will be praying. And we are going forward, Bride, in the midst of the darkness. I'm actually going to play tonight two words that I believe are accurate about where we're at right now. And the Lord is just encouraging us that it is going to get darker out there. I mean, there's no doubt. These gnar preachers that are preaching, you know, that this is the golden age and this is the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, so go take it from crypto, you know. That type of lies that is out there. I'm going to show you a little. I've got some sound clips this morning. I'm going to let you hear just one. But but they're all lies. I mean, the church is getting ready for martyrdom. You know, President Trump has announced that he is going to, on day one, sign the 1798 proclamation of the Alien and Sedition Act. All right, let me go ahead and play this little clip for you here.
Donald Trump's speech in Aurora, Colorado was perhaps his most dangerous speech yet, and that's saying a lot. His rhetoric is intensifying. It's getting more violent, more Nazi-like. One of the things that Donald Trump said that he would do if he was elected is bring back the Alien and Sedition Act of 1798. Now, the Aliens and Sedition Act is a way to discriminate against people on the basis of their ancestry, and to also prosecute people and throw people behind bars who criticize an administration for doing that. It was introduced in the Adams administration in 1798. There was this kind of widespread fear at the time of, you know, a foreign invasion, and as a result, these laws were enacted and political opponents were thrown into prison. This is not the type of thing that we want to go back to. So I want to spend a little.
So this is just one of the little things, and it's a big thing to people like me that speak out, you know, to warn people. He's basically, which they've already started under, you know, the currents of the country. They've already started their revenge campaign. But it is a very real thing. I mean, this is a real threat, and this is something that he is doing to shut up the mouth of anyone that would speak against his agenda. So I do know my time is limited to be able to warn, but I am very thankful that I've had the opportunity to warn. You know, when you consider that we've sent out, now it's over 25 letters to these ministers across the country, spelling it out for them very plainly from A to Z, what it is they're looking at and walking into, which I'm going to read to you tonight. Into 2025. So after this, there will be no excuse. There will be, they will have heard. Now, whether they accept it is up to them, but us, you know, as watchmen, and really every one of us, when we warn people, you know, you warn them and give it back to God. You lay them at the foot of the cross, because it's up to God how they receive that seed. You release the seed and then leave it to God to germinate it. Because most people, when they hear something that is so polar opposite of what they believe, there's a wall that goes up that does not want to receive it at the moment because it hurts their ears. I mean, even when you look at Jesus, you know, back when he was preaching in the apostles, this is why they wanted to kill him so many times, because the truth hurts. The truth hurts. It cuts. And so, you know, our heart, of course, is that when these preachers read these letters, that they will see that, you know, I opened up my life to these people and I shared my journey. You know, in the beginning of the letter, I shared my journey and, you know, told them that I got married 2.5 years ago. And, you know, I now live on a farm in the country, and I've got 3 goats and 30 chickens and 2 dogs, and, you know, and opened up my life to them, you know, to share the journey of what God did since I left them, you know. So hopefully to God, you know, they'll read it. But after listening to the warning from Christina Beadsworth, which we'll play tonight, and then the other prophecy that I heard last night, it just confirms over and over again that I just feel like this is these people's last warning. You know, we're stepping into a time that the Antichrist is taking the stage, and these people are going to fall right in to the sword if they don't repent, you know, and turn from this. So a few other little news things that I want to warn you about. Let me pull my thing up here. I do have some sound clips. I hope y'all like when I do this. But when I meet with you guys in the morning, I would like to be able to warn you of things that I see that you need to know. You know, instead of doing emergency broadcast type of deal, I'll just bring it to you in the mornings like this, where I can warn you and then you can ponder on it throughout the day or whatever, pray about it. Okay, when it comes to the CRISPR that's in the vaccine. I talk about that in that letter to the pastors, because how many of these pastors took it? How many of these pastors pushed it? You know, how many of these pastors never researched it to find out what is in this thing, or what is involved with this thing, or like what would be the consequences of taking it, or, you know, that type of deal. So I prepared a little sound clip for you, because you need to hear this before you hear the letter tonight. All right, here we go.
Enter CRISPR, the revolutionary technology that's changing the game. Imagine the most intricate word processor, capable of finding, cutting and pasting not just words or sentences, but the very letters of life itself, DNA. This is what CRISPR technology does. It's like a genetic word processor. CRISPR, which stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats, is a naturally occurring defense mechanism found in a wide range of bacteria. As a tool, it has been adapted by scientists for use in a broad range of organisms to precisely target and cut any sequence of DNA. This technology is inspired by the way bacteria fight off viruses. When a bacterium encounters a virus, it can store a bit of the viral DNA in its own genetic code in a DNA archive called the CRISPR sequence. When the bacterium encounters the virus again, it uses this archive to create RNA segments that match the viral DNA. These RNA segments, along with a protein called Cas9, form a complex that can identify and bind to the viral DNA. The Cas9 protein then acts like a pair of molecular scissors, cutting the viral DNA at just the right spot to disable the virus. This is the cut part of the find, cut, and paste mechanism of CRISPR. Scientists have harnessed this mechanism for gene editing. By designing RNA sequences that match a specific location in an organism's DNA, the CRISPR-Cas9 complex can be directed to cut the DNA at that exact spot. Once the DNA is cut, the cell's natural repair machinery kicks in to fix the break. Scientists can use this repair process to paste in a new gene or make other changes to the DNA sequence.
All right, pause. There you go. So what it is they target the cells, and then they go there and they cut out the code, and they insert Lucifer's code. And when the woman said that this was the word processor, what it is it's an actual app that goes, that they insert through the jab. And it inserts the new coding system. It's a barcode. That's all it is. It's a barcode. And so the person is now a node into the Internet of Everything. They are now the Internet of Bodies. They are connected to the beast. It's what they call the hive mind. They have stepped into the beast and become a part of the system. So now they're monitored the rest of their life. And this is why a lot of people divorce them, because now they've compromised their entire family. You know, and a lot of them, I've heard the stories over and over, you know, where they tell them, I told you not to take it and you went against my wishes, you know, type of deal. But you need to know that, because the part one of the global ID is that the people that's going to be a part of this new citizenship. And when Trump talks about this deportation, you have to consider it could be whoever is not in the new citizenship. So to be in this new global order, you have to have the app. If you think about the phone, you know, the phone system, the way it has apps. You think about your computer, the way it has apps. Your apps, you know, are controlled by a company. So this app that is now inserted into the human is now monitoring that human. And it is reporting back through RFID technology, which is radio frequency identification device. And it's sending back information on that human, and it's able to be directed. And, you know, like I said before, Congress just come out with that report and said that V didn't do a thing. It did not accomplish any purpose at all. There was no purpose for people to take it. They've been duped. So this is what we have to tell people whenever, you know, your family or whatever talks to you about it. You need to talk to them and you need to tell them, listen, okay, when you did that, you know, you did it out of whatever reason you did it. And, you know, you need to realize that you partnered with death, because this thing is stealing, killing, and destroying. So you need to come out of that agreement. You need to renounce it, and you need to reject it. With all that's in you, you need to reject it and come out of the benefits that you get from it. There is benefits. So you need to come out of agreement with it, because you did come in agreement no matter how you was pressured or why you chose to do it. You chose it. So you came in agreement. So you need to come out of the agreement, because, okay, not saying that I don't believe that it is the MOTB. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if I'm wrong, because I'm not God, okay, if I'm wrong and these people, it's still life and death. It is still stealing, killing, and destroying. The thing is an app. It's a scientific proof. And this thing does connect them to the beast. There's scientific proof. So they're still connected, whether they think it's the mark of the beast or not. But this is the key. The reason they have to renounce it and reject it is because it's going to escalate very soon when Trump gets in, and we're going into part two and three. That's what the second presidency is for, is to activate part two and three, which is the carbon credit score, which is the cryptocurrency, which we cannot go into, the cryptocurrency and the jab. They work together because you have to understand this, and I'm going to have to teach y'all for a minute. You have to understand what is Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3.0. Web 1 is DOS. Web 1 is where, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s, we used to get on a computer and we used to have to learn coding. Like when you used to do WordPerfect, you know, you had to learn codes on how to operate the computer because everything was computer only. You was on there just to get information. But Web 2.0 is where now we have social media. So now it's interaction. It's man to machine. Okay, so now we have our opinions in there, and it's a, you know, like a dual relationship here. But Web 3.0 is where the jab comes in. Because Web 3.0 is where the computer now comes in the human. That's right. It is now the machine, the beast, is entering in. That's where the jab comes in. Because they're bringing, what it is they have discovered that the DNA is so powerful that it can hold tons of information, which is our books of life. This is why our DNA, our blood, our specific blueprint contains the story of who we are. Okay? So they have learned that, and they want to put your information, your data, in your own DNA. It's called the Internet of DNA. So in this Web 3 scenario, they are using this thing called blockchain. Okay, so blockchain is where everything is a node. So if you take like a your cell phone with your computer, your car, your appliances, and people that took the jab, they're all nodes. Now, what that means is that they're all connected to the beast. So the beast is reading information and data off all these things, okay? So it's collecting the data and it's learning. Now, what we have learned is that the big AI, which Elon is building a big one down here, which they say is ready now in Memphis next to me. The big AI is sending out AI, what do they call them? I want to say AI ambassadors. Oh, agents. There it is. But they're sending out AI agents to every human to learn about them. And then this AI builds a profile of you, and it learns about you and all this, and it sends it back to the main AI, you know, and then it's a machine learning. So going back to part two, so this is where we're going into now in 2025 is the part two. And that is the carbon credit score, which is the cryptocurrency and the jab, and then the social credit score, which is China. Now that leads me to the next soundbite I want you to hear. All right. What happened yesterday? Let's see here. All right, here we go.
But we also want to get to some other top stories that we are following for you right here on Live Now from Fox. And it has to do with a big hack that happened recently, and it was just announced by U.S. Treasury. They say that Chinese hackers stole documents in a major incident. And right now that is being discussed, of course, in different avenues here as Chinese state-sponsored hackers breached the U.S. Treasury Department's computer security guardrails this month and stole documents in what Treasury called a major incident, according to a letter to lawmakers. So the hackers compromised third-party cybersecurity service provider Beyond Trust and were able to access unclassified documents there. So a major security breach that we want to continue to talk about right here on Live Now from Fox. And I want to bring in our next.
Oh, I wanted you to hear what that guest had to say. Sorry, let me play it again. Y'all need to hear this.
But we also want to get to some other top stories that we are and stole documents in what Treasury called a major incident. Security guardrails this month and stole documents in what Treasury called a major incident, according to a letter to lawmakers. The hackers compromised third-party cybersecurity service provider Beyond Trust and were able to access unclassified documents there. So a major security breach that we want to continue to talk about right here on Live Now from Fox. And I want to bring in our next guest here this hour to help break down this breach and what it can mean. So this is Nathaniel Bradley with Data Vault Holdings. He is the founder and CEO. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you, Mike.
All right, so let's get right into this for everyone that's watching. You think about, okay, Treasury, big department there, has to do with a lot of, we're talking about the safeguards, really, of our economy. And with this breach, what does that mean, and what were you thinking when you heard that?
Well, leading into this, there's been a lot of talk about TikTok and its approach with our youth and how they've penetrated the number one. They have the number one app in U.S. youth. And now this attack, which is, again, the Treasury is going to have documentation there that gives you insights to American life, almost every aspect. And there's a tremendous threat to our businesses and to our communities when you look at this particular breach, which happened through a third-party source, so Beyond Trust. Cybersecurity company that's a third party to the Treasury has provided a security key that's utilized at workstations. And this is what ultimately was, it's not revealed to us how that security key got into the possession of these Chinese hackers, but that indeed was the process or the form of attack here was the ability to obtain access to work terminals by using a security key provided by Beyond Trust. So that in addition, you know, to what I was thinking when I heard about the attack was really, you know, the ongoing assault on our data and the use of it by our enemies with respect to understanding every aspect of the United States and how we.
All right. So as you can tell, the department was hacked and it was done by China. Well, China is the social credit score. Okay. All of this hacking and all of that is just to prepare everybody for the security lockdown. Remember, I told you this is why you have to get out of Google. Because Google is getting ready to lock down. And what I mean by lockdown is they're going to require keys. Don't do any keys online. If they ask you to give up your biometrics for a key, don't do it. That's what he said. See, he said one of the keys from this other company got hacked. That's what he's talking about. So these hacks are going to cause a couple of problems. One is the fiber for the cyber, where they learn a lot about people and they begin exposing people. And the other is to bring in the security measure. Another, remember the problem and the solution. Okay. They made the problem, the hacking. They made the problem with the geoengineering of the weather and all that kind of stuff. They come up with the solution. And this is where the danger comes in, is the solution. Okay. So, that is coming around the pike as well. Okay, the next thing I want to warn you about this morning is what they're saying is coming in the weather. Okay, now, if you have not heard about this polar vortex that it's going viral on YouTube and social media, I guess, about a polar vortex, which is a nationwide like freeze that's coming next week. So I want us to examine that for a few minutes. Here we go.
And just give you some background on what's going on as we get into what is typically one of the colder months of the year, right? January. So one of the phrases that has been thrown around on social media lately is the polar vortex. So let's just talk about what that is. It's not as scary as it sounds. You're all familiar with the jet stream. That's a ribbon of fast moving air high up in the atmosphere. Well, the polar vortex is kind of similar. It is its own little jet stream that circles the Arctic, which is the northern part of our globe. And then confined within that ribbon of fast-moving air is this really, really cold air mass. And so basically what happens is during the winter months, we get cool to mild temperatures across the U.S. Obviously, it's colder close to the Canadian border, milder for us here in Texas, but that Arctic air is, when the vortex is stable, that Arctic air is really kept locked away up here. So a stable polar vortex is when the jet stream pattern is strong. So when the jet stream is strong and just kind of linear and going across the globe like this, it keeps everything locked up and bottled up and separated from us up in the Arctic. Now what happens, and when we start talking about the polar vortex at home, is when you start to get a weakness in the jet stream. So instead of the jet stream just being strong and linear like this, it starts to get wavy. And when the jet stream becomes wavy, that starts to disrupt this flow up here in the polar regions. And what happens is that lobes of this Arctic air can take advantage of that weakness in the jet stream and plunge south. And that's when we start to have problems here in Southeast Texas. And that's when we start to get this bitter rush of cold air across a good part of the U.S. So that's what the polar vortex is. When we talk about it, we're talking about a weakness in that vortex that allows bitter cold air from the Arctic to surge in across the U.S. So in order to get these polar vortex outbreaks, you need bitterly cold air in the polar regions. And so we take a look at the current temperatures up there. And yeah, I would say that we're there. Old Crow up here in Canada, clocking in with a temperature of 40 degrees below zero. Barrow, Alaska at 26 degrees below zero. So that cold is up there in the Arctic. Okay, so the Arctic Circle here cuts through the northern part of Alaska and then across here through the northern portions and the northern territories of Canada. And that's where some of the coldest air is right now. So we do have...
All right, I want you to hear it from... this guy that has a weather storm thing called Max. Here we go.
A huge weather pattern change will be coming to the United States in early January, and this is going to bring the potential for a few different winter storms that'll bring lots of snowfall to the United States. In addition to that, big Arctic blasts are coming, which is going to bring frigid cold to a large chunk of the country, and many areas could even dive below 0 degrees by the middle of January. So in today's forecast, we're going to break down exactly what you need to know about this weather pattern that'll be impacting the United States over the next...
And then, of course, we can't do it without listening to Ryan Hall. Here you go. But of course it didn't record. All right, I got one more. Hold on.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's David Schlotthauer here with another detailed weather forecast. In today's weather update, we are keeping an eye on a big, massive snowstorm, possibly a historic snowstorm by early next week. But worst of all, there could be some of the coldest Arctic air ever recorded in the last 10 years as we go into the second and first week of January. So here's a look at the latest European model. This is the ECMWF. Stands for European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasting, and this is a look at with what could happen this afternoon on the 30th of December, so the second to last day of this year. Believe it or not, I can't believe it's 2025, literally in a couple of days from making this video. And as we can see here on the forecast model, we do have another system that is moving down out of the north. This is bringing some snow across portions of North Dakota, or South Dakota, as well as Nebraska into Iowa. But this is not the biggest system that everyone is talking about. It comes by the weekend into early next week. In fact, that one could be one of the biggest snowstorms that we have dealt with in nearly a few years. And I'll show you that here in the forecast. So going forward here, other pattern, right? All right, so now what about the American GFS model? This is the 12Z output from the American model from this morning when I'm recording this video. And you can see very different solution. All right, so if we put this in, let's reference this. All right, so this is where the Euro has a system right here, right, for Sunday morning, January the 5th. This is where the system is on the GFS for Sunday morning, January the 5th. So there is definitely some disagreement here on the timing on when this actually develops. GFS has it later than the European model has it earlier, more faster.
Now I know for us with our weather program here, it says that next week we're going to get down to like 10 degrees. So I just wanted to share that with you guys to let you know that we do have some severe weather coming. And if you think about the timing of it, you know, and the sad thing is that the East Coast, which is the Appalachian Mountains and stuff, they're going to get pummeled again. And that's the sad part for them. But there's something else as far as the weather goes that you guys need to know about is across the country, there's a mysterious fog that's happening. I don't know if you've heard about it. Let's listen to this for a minute.
Seeing these videos that we're looking at together, reporting a chemical smell, okay? So some scientists are even suggesting that these industrial pollutants or even these chemical compounds like sulfur dioxide or ammonia could actually be, in fact, I'm getting texts right now from some trusted friends and sources, and I'm going to read that to you in a second. Things are jumping off, y'all. I'm stepping into something. Pray for me. So, okay, let me back up. If I seem a...
Now, this guy is named Signorelli. I'm not sure how I feel about him, but he's warning about this fog. I think it was like 21,000 live people last night when he was talking about this mysterious fog. So when you look it up, hold on here. They're saying that it is causing a lot of people to get sick. And he had this video on there of this one fog, and it had all kinds of stuff flying in the atmosphere. And it made me think, you know, about the drones. You know, let's all just stop a minute and look at December, okay? What did we have roll out in December? Well, in December, we had the drones, and then the drones were dropping stuff in the air. There were reports, you know, that they were spraying stuff in the air. In the beginning of December, I know for our ministry, we began to get reports back that people were getting sick when they went outside. And remember, y'all remember a lot of you was on here on those calls. And what we discovered was, you know, in our hypothesis, is that they have raised the five genesis, you know. I have been with this thing from the beginning. And what happened over there in Wuhan, and this has been a proven fact, is that in Wuhan, China, they had this little testing city that they rolled out the 5G, and that's what started it. And all these people got real sick, because what happens is in the 5G is it's radiation, and it sucks the oxygen out of your lungs. And so it causes people to feel like they can't breathe. So it does that, and it gives these symptoms, you know, that like the common cold, which they have named the COVID. So, you know, just be careful about that fog. I just wanted to make you aware of that. The other thing I wanted to warn you guys about, excuse me. Okay, is deception in the media. And one example that I have is from CBN. The title of their show is called Jesus Appears in Gaza. And I've been telling you guys, and I've been warning you how YouTube has been taken over with so much false imagery, you know, which we know a lot of it has been AI, but they're acting like Jesus is appearing all over the world. Now, listen to how CBN describes this. Listen to this.
Today, some of our best segments from the global lane. During his recent trip to the Middle East, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced that four Arab nations and Turkey have offered to assist in planning the reconstruction and governance of Gaza once Israel ends its war against Hamas. Well, our next guest has another view of Gaza's future after the war. He believes a spiritual revival is about to break out. Taysir Sada is a former PLO sniper and aide to Yasser Arafat. In the 1990s, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. Today, he is founder of the Christian Hope of Peace Foundation. His story is told in the book, Once an Arafat Man. Tass, it's good to talk with you. So let's look forward to the day after Israel's war against Hamas. Explain what you see happening spiritually in Gaza.
I do believe we're going to have a lot of revival, a lot of believers coming through. It's already happening today, as far as I know from my team on the ground. Many Muslims are looking for an alternative to Islam. And so naturally, my team are always promoting Christianity and their life whenever it's safe. And so we are looking at a good revival going on already in the Gaza Strip due to what has happened, really. Despite of the destruction that is taking place, I believe God have a purpose to get the Palestinians in Gaza wake up and look at a different alternative to what they believe.
How about during the war as it's continuing? Our hearts turning. What do you see happening?
So. I just got a report from one of my team members that about 200 Gazans gave their heart to Jesus in one lump sum because the Lord appeared to them in visions and dreams. And they were hugging each other and you know, rejoicing, and realized that all of them had the same vision that each one of them had. And so, obviously, the Lord is doing His work, and the believers around also in the land are doing their work.
All right, now I just want to say this because it sounds legit. When you listen to it, it's like, wow, it so awesome. But what do we know about, Israel and their relationship with Christianity? You're not allowed to convert people over there to Christianity. Thank you, Dee, for your text. And so I know because of my dealings with, what's his name, that does the Kufi, Christians United for Israel. Not Jake Hafer. What's that other guy's name? Help me, Denise. What's that guy's name? John Hagee. There you go. John Hagee. When I was in D.C. and went to his meetings and everything, how they are about conversion. But there's something that I want to reveal to you guys. Whenever you see them say, and I'm teaching you how to research, okay? Whenever you see them say the name of their ministry, like he said that this one was called Hope of Peace Foundation. Immediately, I thought United Nations. So when I looked it up, sure enough, he is. He is an official representation of the United Nations. Now, why would CBN be pushing this organization? Because not only is he, the Hope and Peace founder, but he also does tours in Israel. Now, something else that I have discovered through our research, whenever they say revival, y'all need to know this because you preachers that are on here know that in the days of old, like 2019 and back, because the world changed in 2020, 2019 and back, when we used to talk about revival, it used to be salvation, healing, deliverance, repentance. Revival is reviving. It's a turning. It's a legit experience of, a change in a person's heart. But this new version of this New Apostolic, they actually worship revival. I was big heavy into it, but it's like one of their biggest doctrines is that name revival. Like even when they hold big conferences and stuff in D.C., when they do major marches and stuff, like Jonathan Kahn, I was there with him in 2020. And he said he was doing a global repentance. Boy, I had to be there. I had to drop everything I was doing to see. What is your definition of a global repentance, sir? Because I knew it was not going to be the real deal. And sure enough, me and Brock went out there and it was not. See, their revival means a return. It means return. And that was actually the name of his meeting. Return. What it is, it's just Noahide. It's a returning everybody to Hebrew roots. What they want people to think it's Hebrew roots, but it's really Talmud. It is nowhere near our God. It is not the same God. It is a deception on a stick. But their revival means that it's going back to the to their version of Christianity, but it's not the real Jesus, because I really want you guys to watch this movie. Okay. I'm going to play the clip. I want you to hear the commercial for this movie. It is the best movie I've ever seen. I watched it last night, and I'm so thankful that one of my Bible college students recommended it, because I cried and cried and cried. It was so good. This is real Christianity. All right, listen to this.
Your grandfather drove this?
My dad told me he was going to fix it over me.
This is the way he left it. Like everything else.
You are my son, but I'm giving you 1 month to find a job, or you can find one of your little friends that's going to let you sleep on their couch for free.
Can I help you?
I'm just trying to talk to a young lady right here.
I need for you to leave my shop right now.
I'm gone, and I won't be back either.
That's something right there your father would do.
Well, I ain't him.
You acting like him. Boy!
It's hard for a woman to call out the man and her son. I just need some prayer support.
I'm just trying to see about a job, right? I ain't here to buy nothing. What, you a salesman for this company?
I'm the president. That's for more.
A big part of becoming a man is showing up.
Can you do that, Isaiah?
I'm hearing all these promises.
Hold on!
When my sister tells me that she needs prayer support, honey, I bring prayer support.
Am I in the right place? Miss Clara!
We pray that the Lord will open Isaiah's eyes so that he could see himself the way that the Lord sees him.
You're 50 minutes early.
It sure not to be late again.
I want to introduce you to a small group of men that mean the world to me.
We grow together, we eat together. It's one of the most important things I've ever done in my life.
God has forgiven me so much. Who was I to refuse to forgive?
Okay, Jesus, I give it to you.
What kind of man do you want to be? And what do you want people to think when they see you coming?
You only got six of us, seven including Emmett.
I'm willing to go the second mile. We can't just walk out and do nothing.
Let's roll.
If I may be blunt, a man stands in front of me. Isaiah, welcome to the Forge.
Now that is good. Miss Claire, I need you to come by here more often.
Mm-hmm.
Keisha needs you.
Such an awesome movie. It really is about a young man's transformation. That's what real revival is. That's what real Christianity is. This is why I was telling the people, this is such a farce about Kanye. Because, and it's not that I'm judging him, it's common sense. When you get saved, there is a transformation that happens. It's a real thing. And you turn from your wicked ways. Which means there is an obvious turning from your sin and your old identity, which is what our Bible college is focusing on this first semester. So with Kanye, he, you know, went to the mental institution, got out. This is like in 2016, got out, went to see the Pope, left the Pope, and went straight to Trump. Straight from Trump to NAR. Goes out and starts traveling with NAR, doing all these big revivals and all this stuff. But in the meantime, he's still selling all of his satanic music. He's still promoting this stuff. You don't do that. He still is attached to his Ye name, which is a blasphemy to Jesus. You know, there was no repentance to the public about him calling himself God. There is no, you know, repentance and stuff. That is what real Christianity is. So when I went to 2020's global repentance, it was nothing like that. It was a wanting the Christians that were there with all these 20 rabbis that are up there on the platform doing their Kabbalah hands with their fingers split in the middle and doing their Kabbalah magic over the crowd, telling them to repent. And that is what you're looking at with this new revival that the Pope has going on beginning last year for the next 3 years. It's a revival that he wants across the entire world. And it's working off of his 1,600-page missional doctrine. It's a doctrine that he has for these people that are out here, and he tells them, do not win people to Jesus. That's right. You heard me right. Do not proselytize. Because it's an ecumenical, which is what anytime you see the word faith, when they, you know, like when they put it in some organization, just know it's ecumenical. Okay. Like they'll say, you know, faith team or Trump's faith organization. All it means is it's ecumenical of all faiths. Do you see what I mean? Just type it in, Pope's missional doctrine. Just type it in. And you'll see a lot of ministries and they'll say, hey, you know, I go by the missional doctrine. And the missional doctrine says to treat God as a female, to make him feminine, you know, when you're out talking to people and stuff. But anyways, so that 3 years, you can't make it up that this 3-year revival that the Pope is on ends whenever the America 250 event happens, when they roll out the Noahide laws in July of 2026. When they realize the new identity of this country, after they're finished setting up all their infrastructure and they're finished, you know, doing all of their propaganda across the country for a year, where they're doing all of these, every town is going to be required beginning in May of 2025 to begin celebrations for the entire year. So you ain't seen nothing. I mean, this is Hitler on a stick, because you ain't seen nothing. Do all of your neighbors have flags and you don't? Or you refuse to, because me and Dennis was talking about this morning, we refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. We're not doing it. This, we're not pledging to this new America, this new United Nations country, you know. But just wait until the entire community turns, you know, and that's what's going to be happening, you know, for there. Okay, so I think that's all I have for you today as far as my warnings. Let's see if there's anything else. Nope, that's it. Okay, so praise God. All right, so if everybody can turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that as we are ending 2024 and going into 2025, Lord, that you are strengthening our backs. You are making our forehead like flint. You are putting a, you know, shield about us so that we can be protected to do what we need to be doing. That you're covering our eyes with a supernatural gauze, a supernatural shield about us, Lord, to be able to fight the devils that we're going to have to fight in 2025. And we thank you. You've equipped us for this, Lord. There's nothing that we can't do without your grace. We know that we're not alone, that we have angels that are with us, Lord. And so we just thank you for your word this morning, for your encouragement for us to walk in faith and to not be afraid. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Be by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speak. Why was Abel's offering acceptable to God over Cain's? It's because it was the first fruits. It's a first fruits principle, like tithing. Tithing is a first fruits principle. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Did y'all know that it's faith is what pleases God? But without faith, here we go, it says right here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah. Look, he's given us all these different stories. Through faith, also Sarah received her strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I know of stories of people that had no womb that God made pregnant. I've heard many miracles of God making pregnancies out of nothing. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, for God is not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that beautiful? For he has prepared for them a city. Pause. Okay, in the NAR doctrine, the seven mountains of influence, okay? This is where the problem comes in of doctrine, because NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, which is the majority of the church out there today, they want the people to focus on the system, saving the system. Run for office, you know, get involved, focus your energy over here on the system. There's many preachers that have left their preacherhood and went into politics like this. And they did this because of this doctrine. save the system. It's your duty, is what they tell them. It takes them away from their first love. I mean, there are people that God really does call into politics. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Okay? And he'll have them preach and whatnot. Okay? I'm one of them. But there are people that left their calling of a pastor and preaching to go do this because of this doctrine of saving the system. First of all, everybody from 2019 past, like 2020 on, should have left the system. The system is gone. There's nothing. I don't care how much you try to get in there and change stuff. It is gone. It is taken over. It is kaput. The beast has taken over. There. Did you know that? Okay. The Republican Party has been taken over and hijacked by Trump when he got in. He changed the name, covertly, of course, to America First. America First is the Build Back Better United Nations agenda of Democrats in a red dress. So as soon as he got into the Republican Party, he began corrupting it. And how did he corrupt it? Well, he got rid of the old Christian base that he called rhinos. Those are the ones he called rhinos. And then he began to bring the LGBT vomit from the Democrat Party over to the Republican Party. And then him and the Republicans, of which his daughter-in-law ended up taking over, the RNC and whatnot, and they ended up just corrupting it to hell. But they sent the LGBT, transgenders and all, across this country beginning in 2019, across the country to spew their vomit all across this country, holding town hall meetings to pull the LGBT out of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party into the Republican Party. Because why? They wanted to corrupt the Christians. And that's what they did, sad to say. There's many different ways. If I could write a book on how Trump corrupted the Republican Party, there's many things I'd say about it. One is, because when I write a book, I do like bullets of points I want to get across, basically. And one of them would be how he taught. God revealed that to me when I was there, how he specifically cusses and says vile things in front of children and in front of Christians, pastors, honorable men and women of God. And he'll talk like this. And I was crying. See, back then I thought I was Trump's prophet. When I went to D.C., I fought for that man like there is no tomorrow. And I used to cry to God all the time about him. God, why does he do this? Lord, I hate it. It just makes our church look terrible out here. It's me talking to God. And then I realized, I know he does it on purpose. Because he corrupted the ears of the people. Now they sound like their father. These people would cuss and act like nothing about it. They'll call people names, like Trump calls them names. That's just one way. The other way is wearing out the saints. Email, wear you out. Email. Phone calls, emails, meeting after meeting, interview, just wearing out the media, just wear out the saints. Type of deal. But anyways, let's move on. But NARA, though, they want to focus on the system so they get all of the Christians to leave their first estate, which is, the great salvation, where you go out, the great commission, where you go out and you focus on souls, people, this country ain't never going to be healed the way he's doing it. It's doing nothing but driving wedge and spikes in people. You know, the real healing of the country has to come from the heart. It's a heart change, which is where the old revivals would have come in. But see, their new revivals that NARA partners with now is all about the UN agenda. It's the health and freedom. That's what that is. UN to the bone. So they've got everybody's focus off of the real healing. Lay hands on the sick that they shall recover. Come out, you old devil, come out. You know, and using God as the weapon. Instead of their remedies they come up with, their technologies they partner with, and their reasoning to figure everything out is what they're doing with this. You know, they'll do whole cancer revivals. I mean, it's all around, you know, this whole climate change. People don't realize that's what it is, but that is what it is. It's got away from the old-fashioned brush arbor revivals we used to have in the days of old, where you go to that altar and you ride it, baby. You ride that altar until you're delivered. And there's people of God that are standing around you, and they'll pray with you until that thing comes out. You know, that's a real revival. People come there, alcoholics, and they leave set free, you know. Okay, so let's go back where we is at. Okay, so oh, that's why we were saying all that. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. See, there's the key. Because we know this system has been turned over to Satan. Our country we're fighting for is our heavenly country. It's a country that we're going to see very soon. And you know, this, you can have this one because you've already corrupted it. You've already sold it. So I'm going to pray for my country, you know, like my land and stuff. See, the land is alive. The land spews out sin. It hates it. You know, the land moves for God. It wants to honor God. It can't stand all this stuff that's happening right now. You know, and even this is so sad, y'all. You know, Dennis, he's been going out here, you know, and he's been working out here in the field. You know, we got 12 acres out here, and he's been cutting up wood. And I'm going to tell you something. This is so sad. Here in Tennessee, these trees are withering from the inside out. They're dying. It's so sad. And you know it's from the chemtrails and everything. I mean, you know, all the stuff that they've been spraying. We have hardly any insects. We hardly see any squirrels, any deer. We hardly see any birds. You know, and the trees, like when he cuts them down, you know, they're just hollow inside. It's really sad. But it's because of the sin, you know, and we are in judgment right now. And I need to say this to you guys about judgment. Okay. Some people say, well, this ain't God. Because we know this is geoengineering and we know they're doing all this. All right, but there's another perspective you need to hear. Okay, if God would not have pulled his hand back, this would not be happening because they can't do all the stuff they're doing without God backing off. That's why they're doing it. That's the judgment. See, when God's hand is on your country, oh, they can't cross that hand, baby. They can't cross his blessing. That's why y'all are going to know after tonight how blessed, really blessed you are. Because somebody sent me a report about her neighbor, sent me an email last night where her neighbor's house caught on fire and how close she was to her neighbor's house. Do you know God protected her house? And she told me, she goes, I know that God is protecting me. And look at Miss Dorothy. She's on the line this morning. Miss Dorothy, when the hurricane hit Tampa Bay and flooded every building but hers, she was the only one in there that had lights. I mean, we're in those kind of days, the blessing. You know, and I believe we're going to see more of it in the coming days. We are going to be a sign and a wonder to people. Okay, but we're going to see a lot of wickedness, and this is where the sad thing comes in. Okay, now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I'm going to tell y'all something. I feel led tonight. I'm going to be speaking a blessing over you guys. I'm going to give you guys an Abrahamic blessing. Have you ever heard of that? My mother, before she died, gave an Abrahamic blessing. And it was very, very precious because she was in the hospital. And she did an audio where she gave an Abrahamic blessing. And I put that audio together and made a video and gave it to the grandkids after she died. And I think me and her prepared that about 2 or 3 months before she died. And they cried and cried. You know, it's where she left her blessings for her children. All right. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, that speaks to me because, you know, I know Trump is going to pass that law that says he's coming after all his enemies. I know I'm on that list. The Lord's already gave me a dream. But I don't fear it. You know, every one of us are going to die. The timing is up to God. And the heart of us is, you know, Lord, ain't nobody taking me out unless you give permission. And I want the rest of my days to be so meaningful that I can sit around with Moses, Isaac, and Jacob and talk to them and say, I did what God called me to do. I did fulfill my mission. I am not leaving this earth in the name of Jesus until I finish it. So, Lord, you know, you let me give you honor with everything that's in me, you know, because a part of that Alien and Sedition Act is putting people in internment camps. So I'll be singing. You know, and I want to tell you guys, too, that you know, if that polar vortex is real and if it does do what some people are saying it's going to do and it causes like a blackout and stuff, you know, where the grid goes down, where it can't handle the pressure of it, down here we won't have any communications. You know, all we have is satellite. Okay, so if the satellite freezes, we're out. We have no cell phone here, nothing. So if that happens, you know, have grace towards me and just pray for me. You know, if we ever, you know, have this bad weather and something happens and I'm not on here in the mornings, just know it was not that I overslept, because I get up at 3 and 4 every morning. You know, I've already been in the throne room, you know. So it wouldn't be that where I overslept or anything. Just know something happened that I could not be here with you guys. And then just, you know, we'll ride the storm out, you know, until it's over. Okay, so, all right. So, by faith, Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, now this is key, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Boy, that'll preach. That will preach. That's one thing about NARS. See, they believe that if you're suffering, then your faith is not right. You're weak. Something's wrong with you, you know. But that's not the case. And I can't tell you how many times over the past 12 years of full-time ministry, I've seen sad things because of NARS beliefs. Like, here's one. All right, you got all these families across the country and probably across the world, but you got all these families across the country, and a lot of them have kids that are disabled. You know, kids with autism, kids with, you know, in wheelchairs, kids with, you know, problems. They do not feel accepted in these churches. I'm just telling you what I know. Because here's what happened. I went to this church. There's a man sitting there in a wheelchair. It's like these people are targeted from the moment they come in. You are weak and you are not of God. You are lacking. You see, they make them feel like they are lesser than because of their situation, even financially. This is wrong on every level. Let me tell you why. Because God can use them right where they're at. It's up to Him when He wants to heal them. Yes, we believe God wants to heal them. But until then, we cannot train these people that, which I'm going directly against the Word of Faith movement saying this, which is where I went to Bible college. But, you know, they teach that, you know, you are, which I do get it in a way that you're not to, you know, come in agreement with death. I agree with that. And we are to speak life. I agree with that. But where the difference is that they will not allow people to be used or to think that God is using them in their weakness, where I disagree with that. You know, I believe, I've seen it too, where people with disabilities are being used by God in mighty ways. And so the way that I tell people is this: I don't care where you're at. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much money you have or what. God can use you right where you're at. I don't care if you are paralyzed in a wheelchair, laying back with nothing but your head moving. I have seen it. When I went to that woman that was 110 years old, she was paralyzed from the neck down, that beautiful black lady that had the whole street named after her family. Remember I told y'all that story? All she could move was her head, and God used that woman so mighty. Yes, he did. She had such a joyful spirit in the midst of her suffering. See, that's the key. They don't believe you can suffer, and that if you suffer, then something's wrong with you. See, that's wrong. You suffer. All Christians will suffer, no matter what it is. You may be poor, and you know, you're believing God to come out, and you come in agreement with heaven, you know, that your finances go back, but you still may be suffering. You may have some sickness on you that you're battling. You're still suffering. You know, you may be battling your neighbors who are always constantly coming after you, and they're always doing this. Or you may be battling a job that's driving you crazy, and you don't know what to do about it. You know, you may be suffering in many ways, but God can use you right where you're at. There was a woman in a wheelchair, and she was out of her mind 99% of her life. All she does is lay there with her tongue hanging out and slobbering. You know, when I used to minister in nursing homes. But when I used to sing this song, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, she comes to life and she will sing, I'll fly away. You know, the best she could. And we would just laugh. Oh, we just love seeing her praise the Lord like that. God used her to be a sign and a wonder in the midst of her suffering. Of how even people, when their mind is overtaken, music will bring them alive. I've seen it many times. People come out of comas and everything through singing. So the point is, y'all get my point anyway. Okay, so let's move on here. But choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, the will of the Lord be done in our life. No matter what suffering, like I said, you know, the beast coming after me and whatever their plans are, they ain't going to be able to do it unless God gives permission. They can come to my house and I can be standing right there and be invisible. If it's not my time, they will not take me. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But if it's my time, the will of the Lord be done. And Lord, what do you want me to do from here? You know, because we will suffer in the coming days in a worse way type of deal than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, here's the deal. If you're not willing to suffer and to do whatever God wants to do with your temple, people will get in those camps and they'll cave. They'll turn right over to the beast because they do not. Okay, let's say they come to the door and they say, you either take this or we're sending you off. They would cave right there because they would not want to suffer. They just can't imagine having to suffer for his name. But if you look at the people overseas right now, the way they're being killed overseas is horrible. You know, there's people, there's martyrs, Christian martyrs happening right now. Okay, all right, now, verse 26, we're in Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. This is Moses still, see. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Come on now, everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I do not fear the wrath of the king. I fear you, Lord. And I put my faith and trust and my destiny in your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, there's the key, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest that he should be destroyed, the firstborn. He that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by the dry land, you know, talking about the children of Israel, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Come on now. We are seeking a better resurrection, right? And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Look, these are what Christians went through, y'all. Why do we think we're better than these people? They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Ooh, could you imagine? They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Wow. These were Christians, of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. That's why we cannot live our life and destiny thinking that we've got some reward on the earth that we're fighting to achieve. You cannot think that way. Oh, I'm going to hang on till this great revival comes. That gives me hope. No, 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 no. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in our heavenly home. Because this world is going to disappoint you. Our hope is in Jesus, the one we live for, the one we long for, our first love, the one who died for us and gave his life for us and made the way for us. He was the lamb that was slain, the perfect lamb. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wow. What a wonderful word this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your encouragement this morning, for the faith that you are encouraging us in this morning, Lord. We truly can do all things through you that gives us strength, Lord. And I just pray, God, that with all of our faults and lacks and all of the things in our life that we see, that we believe is holding us back from being all that you have called us to be, Lord, we surrender it to you. We know, Lord, that you see us. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the perfect architect that designed us to look the way we do, to be in the culture the way that we are, everything about us, where we was born, who our parents are, what we look like, where we're at now. You know it all, Lord. So we're asking you this morning, and we're surrendering all to you, Lord, that you will increase our faith for 2025. And Lord, we just lay it all down to you, Lord, because you are the great architect. And really, you are the one that we trust. We don't trust ourselves. We trust in you because you are the one that has the plan and you know it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, now I encourage all of you guys to be there tonight. I'm going to open up the prayer lines in just a minute. I encourage you guys to be there tonight at 10 o'clock to all of you that are listening later. We have a very special program tonight to ring in the new year and to paint a picture of what it is that we're looking at for 2025. And for prayers, for protection, and the Abrahamic blessing, and the call and the charge for us to be in the army of the living God. And so I encourage you to be there tonight, to be right here on the prayer line. Very simple. You can do it from your phone and just, you know, sit in your living room or at the table with your Bible open and just listen. And I'm excited about it, and I'm excited about 2025, what God is going to do, because we are all stepping into uncharted territory, every last one of us. I don't care where you live. We're all going into something that we've never experienced before. And this is why we need to be closer. We need to be a family. We need each other till the bitter end. Because we're going to need the prayers of one another. We're going to need, and I do encourage you guys, if you have not mailed in a card to Garden of Eden Farm with your name, address on it, maybe a picture of your family so that we can put you in our prayer box. You know, if the grid goes down, because there is coming a day that when the grid goes down, we'll never see each other again until we get to glory, because we won't be able to come back, because it'll be Web 3.0 on a stick. There's going to have to be a time where, and they'll probably use a natural disaster to do this, where they're going to have to shut it all down, like a power down and then a power up. This is why at the United Nations meeting room, it's a power sign. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it looks like a power on and power off. Because when the power comes back up, the beast will be alive. He will be there. This would be the time to run to the hills type of deal. Because Web 3.0 will take over the internet. Right now, we're still in the Web 2 stage. We're still, some things have been moved over. Some things have already crossed over into Web 3. But most things are still in Web 2 for right now, because the infrastructure is not ready. But maybe it'll be ready in 2025. Maybe they're ready. We don't know. But when it goes down, we won't be able to be back together. So you need to mail in your card so that, you know, we can pray for you. And you know you have, you know, people praying. So I'm going to stop the recording here, and then I'll open up the prayer line.